we stand up and pick a text? Romans chapter 10. Can we be on our feet and pick a text? Are we there? Praise the Lord. I'm picking it a text, and I pray that God will use this message to open the eyes of someone. I have preached this message some few years back, but our IT department said it was not on DVD, and they asked me that I should preach it again because so many people have not heard it. And that is why I am recalling it again. Chapter 10 and verse 1. Brethren, Romans 10 verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they have been ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of His word. God bless you. Be seated. My emphasis is that verse 2, where Apostle Paul himself was bearing record of the Jews, generally religious people, that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They have a zeal. And so it is with Christianity today. And we see people that are very zealous for the things of God. Zealous. Go to the mountains, and you will see what I mean. Hundreds of people on top of the mountain, fasting and praying. Go to the streets and see people evangelizing. Men and women. Come and see crusades everywhere. See TV stations. See people spending their money financing the gospel, supposedly. Come and see zeal. That was the condition of Israel. And it is always the same like that. It is the same condition of the church now. I told you several times that when you come to a ministry like this, when you get connected to a ministry like this, for those of you watching us on our live program now, listen, you are not just looking at another ministry. A woman called me from Chad, the Republic of Chad, last night, and told me, all she was calling was to show appreciation, and told me that their antenna for their TV was spoiled, and so when her husband came back, she begged the husband to fix it. The husband fixed it again for her over there in charge. And she said she decided to scroll to see program. Said suddenly she saw a new station, Bright TV, and she saw it, Nigerian station. She said, this Nigeria is again, another new one. Which one again be this one? She said, she scrolled past it. Another time again, she scrolled past it. One day she said, let me even see what in this people they talk. She said, and she met me preaching. She said, that is how she got hooked up to it. She was hearing something she has not heard before. And since then she has been addicted to the channel. And she only called to just appreciate God. And she was blessing me that I have changed her life. That now her spiritual life is revived. What I'm saying is, when you get connected to us, you are not just connected to another Pentecostal church. Always note that. And so when people begin to ask, if we live here, there is no bride assembly here, no bride assembly there. You are looking at us as a new church coming up that should have branches like others have. No! We've gone beyond that kind of Christianity. We've come back to how it should be. We are part of a restored ministry. Therefore, when you come here, church, don't just look at the anointing. Any other thing we do here, whether it is healing, like our brother just testified, just watching us on the screen and receiving healing, or whatever it is, the prophetic gift, all these gifts, there is nothing you see here, there is no testimony you see here that you don't see higher than that in the denominations. Is it deliverance? Nyafu, nyafu. Is it discernment that they will tell you the day you are born and the day you will die and it will come to pass? It is there. So, what we measure in here is not the gifts, it's not the anointing, it is revelation. It is revelation. It is revelation. Praise the Lord. Because Apostle Paul was saying, that is the difference. Israel, they had a zeal of God. A zeal. But if you have a zeal, and it is not according to knowledge, then you are wasting your time. And so many Christians are wasting their time and thinking they are serving God. The Bible says that God is looking for worshippers now. That we worship Him where? In bride assembly? In redeem? Matter of fire? Choosing? Catholic? Where is He looking for them to worship Him where? In spirit and in truth. It means you can worship Him in the flesh and in error. There is no church that is a gateway to heaven. No church. No church. It is not this church that will lead you to heaven. It is what we are saying. And what you are hearing. For ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Take note of that. The most important aspect of every service in this church is the opening of the word. It's the opening of the word. When it's time for preaching, sit down very well. When anointing is sitting and vibrating, beg God to say, wait, make I hear something. Because you'll be vibrating anointing and something will be spoken, and you will not know what is going on. Praise the Lord. He said, for they be ignorant of God's righteousness. You see, ignorant of God's righteousness. What have they done? Praise the Lord. They have established, they have refused, they have established their own righteousness. And they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And church, when we speak righteousness, listen church, the meaning of righteousness. Righteousness is your right standing with God. Listen, righteousness is more than living a holy life. Righteousness is more than living a holy life. A holy life is part of it and very important. But you may be living a holy life and still live in ignorance of God's expectation for your day. So it's more than that. When we say righteousness, it's not just living a holy life. Don't steal, don't fornicate, don't commit adultery, don't lie, don't do this, don't do this, don't paint your face, don't do that. It is more than that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Righteousness. Listen, church, listen. You have to know what is to be done for you to be accepted before God. Listen, there was a time that the righteousness of God was in this way, that Abraham was told to leave his brethren, leave his family, and go to a land that I will show you. A spirit appeared to a man, Abraham. I am the Lord, your God, your creator. Move away from these idol worshippers and come and serve me, and I will show you where you will go. And he had a spirit talking to him. He believed it was God talking to him. And he obeyed and left his family, his people, to a land. Where are you going? God will say, make I go. Where now? I don't know, but he said, make I go. He said, and God Abraham believed God. For that, it was counted to him for what? For righteousness. Can you see righteousness now? Can you see righteousness? Now. It is after he believed and came out and was going, that God saw that because you believe, I will establish a covenant with you. And this will be the sign of the covenant, the circumcision. But he believed first. And just as the Bible tells us that the Holy Ghost is given to them that believe. Believe what? Believe your message for your day. That's what William Branham said. The evidence of the Holy Ghost is that you will believe the message for your day. There is God's standard for every age, for every day. Don't miss it, church. Don't miss it. And when it came to Moses, what was God's standard for righteousness? If you commit any sin, just take an animal. Come before the temple, before the high priest. Confess your sin. Instead of you to die, the animal will die. Once you shed that blood, that's all. That is God's own standard for righteousness, together with the law that Moses gave them. Abraham did not have one single law. The only law God gave Abraham is circumcised. So whether Abraham was smoking, it doesn't matter before God at that time. Whether he was a drunkard, it doesn't matter before God at that time. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. When it comes to the period also, hallelujah. Let's come a little closer. Let's come home now. In the period of when it was time for restoration, it began with Martin Luther. Listen, Martin Luther, the standard for that age was the word that was quickened to Luther. The just shall live by faith. That was all the light they had. Luther did not know about water baptism in the name of Jesus. Luther, it was recorded, was a smoker, smoking his pipe. And yet, he was righteous before God. Why? He received the word for his day. That was God's standard for that age. And if you do any other thing contrary to that, you are out of God's righteousness. You may be so holy. So also it was with John Wesley. You have to catch that. John Wesley was still a Trinitarian. John Wesley, hallelujah, was still baptizing in the titles instead of in the name. His revelation did not reach that level. Yet, that was God's standard for that age. If you talk down whatever he tells you, you are out of God's righteousness. And that is what Apostle Paul is saying here. For Jews, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness. Ignorance. And going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And we must submit ourselves unto God's own righteousness. And he prescribes it. When he came to the Jews, he was telling them, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Christ is the end of the law. Jews. That's why. Instead of accepting it, they were beating him up and down. They are beating Paul. They are suffering them. Frustrating them. Persecuting them. Killing them. Calling them liars. When, as far as God was concerned, I have left those laws of Moses. This is where I am now. In grace. Praise the Lord. Always take note of that. That is why it is so difficult for the children of God in this age that we are in to accept God's standard for righteousness. And God's standard for righteousness in this age is the message for the hour that God delivered to us through the ministry of the man William Marion Brown. And while others are telling you certain things that pertaining to godliness doesn't matter, he came to tell us that before God, it matters. And you are quick to compare yourself with other denominations, other churches, that you believe God is moving there. Why are you talking like this? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you, church, and I preach the gospel according to science, for you to understand that science, the invention of means of transportation, was also speaking about how God is also moving according to his timetable. Church, a car is a means of transportation to make things better. Hallelujah. Science invented aeroplane. Aeroplane goes faster than a car, automobile. And suddenly again, praise the Lord, they move from aeroplane to what? To a rocket. Amen. That can take a man and place him on the moon. And people are not understanding. And it is in this age, this Salvation Church age, that we see the rapture, that science developed the ability to have a form of ability that can defy the gravitational pull of the earth, the atmosphere here. It beats it, it breaks through it, and takes a man away from this earth and places him in another planet. Speaking of the rapture, that one of these days, God's own rocket will come and pack some people in this same age, far beyond automobile, far beyond jets and aeroplanes, through the rocket and place them in another planet. Then judgment will come upon this earth. You have to understand that. Therefore, the composition of a rocket is different from the composition, mechanical composition of a jet plane. The thing that makes a rocket move with a human being there, drop and there, is not in a plane. The power is not there. The message that will give you rapturing faith is different from the message of prosperity, healing, and deliverance. The power you need to lift you from this earth to glory is more than prosperity. It's more than that. That is God's righteousness for this age. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We're looking at the topic I titled The Due Order. Let's take some reading from 1 Chronicles chapter 13. Not Corinthians, Chronicles. Are we there? 1 Chronicles chapter 13. I'm going to do some long reading. You get the picture so that when I'm speaking, I'm making reference, you can understand what I'm talking about. I'm reading from verse 1 up to verse 13, verse 14 of 1 Corinthians chapter, 1 Chronicles chapter 13. Are we there? Hallelujah. Can I read on now? Remember that David now has been made a king. He has taken over the kingship of Israel. Now he wants to set things in order. Throughout the days of Saul, disobedient Saul, the ark was not consulted because the ark was under the captivity of the Philistines. And now a righteous king has taken over. A man that is zealous for the things of God. A man that wants to do things pleasing before God. A man after God's own heart. God loved him so much. Now listen. And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds, and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and it be good, and it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. And let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they will do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together, from Sheol to Egypt, even unto the entering of Hamath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. And David went up, and all Israel, to Baala, that is, to Kirjath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God, the Lord, that dwelleth between the cherubs, whose name is called on it. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart, not verse 7, underline it, if it is not yet underlined. What did they do? They carried the ark of God in a new cart. Brand new cart. Hallelujah. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio, they are the sons, two sons of Abinadab. They drove the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came unto the threshing floor of Gidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore that place is called Perizzuzah to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, note verse 12, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? If you will allow me, before I read verse 13. Listen, it was when that ark was stumbling to fall, and Uzzah tried to save the ark from falling and destroying, and God struck him dead. It was at that point that David knew that something was wrong. And the question that he should have asked before going to pick the ark, he was asking it only after the destruction had been done. Before going to pick the ark, you were supposed to ask first, we are going to pick the ark, how are we to carry the ark? You are going into the ministry. The first thing you should ask is, how am I to carry out this ministry? It is not enough that you have the Lord say, I will use you mightily. But ask him, how will I serve you? It's very important. Don't wait. I have seen people until the church scatter, until the ministry is frustrated and scatter. And you who are blind, who will not know when it comes to the things of the Spirit, be careful how you jump into it. Uzzah did not know that it was God that was stopping that revival. You are doing something wrongly. And Uzzah was going to help. And what happened? Praise the Lord. He lost his life for nothing. It is when your ministry has scattered that they are looking for prophet. Prophet, I don't know what happened. I don't know whether I'm doing something wrong. My ministry is not growing. I don't understand that. I will gather, they will scatter. I will gather, they will scatter. I don't understand. Is it more anointing I need? More anointing? Have you found out how God wanted you to serve Him in the calling He has called you? I'm speaking to the whole world. And I pray that somebody will catch what I am saying. Verse 13. So David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house there 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. Can you see the irony of it? Can you see the irony of it? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The ark that was a curse and caused death somewhere was kept in another person's house and blessing flowing yafu there. Oh, glory be to God. Let's read further. Chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 1. And David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched it a tent. Then David said, this is where we are going now. Hallelujah. This is where we are going. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. None. You see? Because he had now taken time to go and find out. Come. How is the ark of God to be carried? He got the answer. Study to show thyself approved. A workman that need not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. When it comes to the things of God, don't jump into it anyhow. Because somebody is prospering in one way, does not mean if you enter that way too, you will prosper. And don't use your own idea to work for God. God is wisdom himself. And he alone has the wisdom of ministry. Stop your own using your own modern ideas to serve God. No matter how beautiful that idea is. Idea. Every time, idea. Let's, okay. I'll come to that. Let me finish this reading. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them has the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But Uzzah and Ahio, the two sons of Abinadab, were they Levites? Even if they were Levites, did God say, though the Levites are the only ones to carry the ark of God, God still told them how they will carry it. God did not say, yes, you are a Levite, yes. I've anointed you, yes. I have called you, yes. But you have a way to carry this ark. It's not to bring a new vehicle and put the ark and put an animal under your supervision to go. No! That is not what he said. Okay, let's read on. Hallelujah. Verse 3. And David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord unto his place, which he had prepared for it. And David assembled the children of Aaron and the Levites. I mention their names. Go to verse 11. And David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priests, and for the Levites, for Uriah, Asaiah, and Joel, Shemaiah, and Enel, and Aminadab, and said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves. They have to start with, you must first sanctify yourself. Before you go and carry the ark, sanctify yourself. A carnal people cannot please God in service. A carnal people cannot please God in service. Sanctify yourself. Because no matter how the angels stood before Zechariah the high priest, Joshua the high priest in Zechariah chapter 3, no matter how that angel tried to deliver, chase that demon that was standing by Zechariah, by Joshua the high priest in Zechariah chapter 3, that demon refused to go. He refused to go. Hallelujah. That demon refused to go. When you see that revelation that said, it is only Pastor Moses that can deliver you. When I stood there, I was looking at that revelation, and I was saying that how can a man deliver somebody? If he said only Pastor Moses will deliver you, he's not saying that only Pastor Moses has the anointing. Listen, church, I am more revelated than anybody to scatter my head with any. Praise the Lord. If God ever tell you to come to me for deliverance, it's because I know the secret of true deliverance. Maybe that was so, you fall down, demon go. Now lie. You go sit down, go open Bible, show you. I have the revelation of the true deliverance. Yes, that is why I say only Pastor Moses. Because when you sit down with me today, brother, from wherever you come from, Ebonyi, I will ask you, have you been baptized? If you think I'm going to say, I bind you, Satan, out. Now lie. Anybody can do that. But not everybody has a revelation